Austin, Texas. Total Human Optimization.
Here we are today with the On It podcast with none other than Michelle Watterson, the karate hottie, 105-pound atom weight Invicta champion, and a proud fighter of one of and competitor in one of the most exciting fights I've seen this year, honestly. In any weight class, any gender, it was incredible fight to see you out there doing that. So a real pleasure to have you on here. I definitely want to get into the fight, but welcome to Austin and welcome to the On It podcast.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. So it's an awesome place to be.
Right on, right on. So let's get right into that fight there. So, you know, basically she was the favorite. She was supposed to. Was she already the champ or was this for the belt?
Yeah, she was the champ.
She was the existing champ. So you're coming in there as the challenger.
As a contender. Yeah.
You're looking to take her hardware away from her. Yeah. So you had a camp. You know, you're with the famous Greg Jackson, of course. So you got a great training camp behind you. But talk us through, you know, at the start of that camp, as soon as you heard, you know, Jessica Penne is your next fight coming up. You know, what started going through your head?
Well, before that, I just signed with Invicta, and I fought Lacey Shuckman, and it was an awesome fight. Her and I got fight of the night, and after that, I was talking to Shannon a little bit, and
Shannon is the owner of Invicta. She's the Dana White of Invicta.
Yes,
she's kind of like the Dana White and Lorenzo of Invicta, like if they smashed together in a giant bear hug.
Yes.
So that's Shannon.
Her and Janet. Janet's the matchmaker, so I gotta give her some shout outs too. But Jessica actually fought on that card with Lacey. She was headlining it and fighting for the belt, and she won. She beat the girl in the first round, and my husband and I are watching Jessica fight in the stands, and I'm like watching her like, I think I could beat her, you know? And so
you could see her behind Tito's giant head. I didn't know, if he blocked out the whole range of vision.
Yeah. Cause yeah, you know, you just gotta maneuver.
Tito is Jessica Penne's manager, for those of you who don't know.
But, yeah, for sure. And so after the fight, I told her, I told Shannon one day I'd love to fight for that belt. And she just goes, let me know whenever you're ready, sweetie. You know, so, you know, I got back home.
How friendly.
I know.
How friendly.
She was awesome.
And then it happened.
Yeah, and I came back home. I was talking to Coach Jackson about it, and he's all, Peanut, you know, don't be in a rush to be a champion. Because once you're a champion, you know, you got a target on your head.
That's a real Zen master to say, don't be a rush to be a champion.
Yeah, for sure. He's like, it's easy to become a champion. It's harder to stay a champion.
You know? Right.
Not easy to become a champion, but... So, you know, a couple of months go by, and they gave us the offer, and I had the confidence in myself and my ability to beat her, so I said, yeah, let's do it, and started training hard, and you know.
So how many weeks out was your camp? Was it 8 weeks, 12 weeks, 10 weeks?
What did you do? I don't know if I could put really a date on it, but I probably started like training really hard 10 weeks out. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I found out that I got the fight, I started getting into the gym and doing more strength and conditioning than I normally do.
Right.
And
taking some On It supplements.
Oh, yes.
What's up?
Yes, I got On It right away. And it really did help. Like, I was telling you earlier, like I've never felt stronger. I've never felt stronger.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do think it's thanks to supplements and, you know, my coaches and my training. And
all of it works together.
It totally
you can't do it optimally without all pieces moving together.
Yes.
The training, the coaching, the supplements,
everything.
The diet, all of it comes together.
For sure.
So you were making it through camp and feeling pretty strong headed into the fight, right?
Yeah, I just, you know, like you said, I was like 8-2 underdog. Like, I was like, everybody was like pitting against me. And I really, for this camp, I didn't really bother too much about the social media, whatever people were saying. My mom was actually getting into it a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. She just like kind of discovered Facebook.
Well, at least it was Facebook and not like the MMA forums.
Oh,
those
God.
Places are savage.
Well, what happened was
no place for a mother on
somebody
this.
Somebody was on somehow my mom started following Jessica on Facebook, and she thought it was like an open discussion or whatever, and underneath there's like a picture of Jessica, and underneath it somebody's like, can't wait to see you fight April 5th, you're gonna kick ass. And then my mom underneath it writes, no, she not. She gonna get her ass beat. Like, and I'll say it in the Thai accent.
Yeah.
And, you know, a couple hours later, Jessica writes underneath it, like, you're on the wrong page to be talking like that, Meta. My mom was like, what'd you say that for? And I was like, just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. But yeah, leave it to your parents to do stuff like that. You gotta
talk
love them.
A little shit for you.
Yeah, right. For sure. So no, it was fun, and you know,
fighting is part of the Thai culture, though. I know. When I went to Thailand, it's not just the people that fight. You'll see signs for like buffalo fighting.
Yes.
And anything that will fight.
Beetle fighting. Chicken fight. Yeah, it's crazy.
If they'll fight in Thailand, they're like, sweet.
Yeah, they got.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah, they're feisty.
Yeah.
Feisty
but
people.
So friendly and loving, and mm-hmm. it's like the epitome of good Buddhism and total savage violence.
Yeah.
You know, it's like just perfect combination that I appreciate when I'm there.
My mom always says, when I'm good, I'm good, but when I'm bad, I'm bad. Straight up tight. But no, it was a great fight, and you know, I knew going into it I was gonna be strong, and like I said, I just ignored all the media, and I just knew in my heart that that I could beat her, and I just had to show the rest of the world that, you know, so got to the fight.
All right, so you get in there. What are your nerves like headed into the ring for this championship fight? I mean, this is the biggest moment of your career by far, hands down.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty calm. I just, in my head, was just kept telling myself, like, you deserve to win. Like, you deserve it. Like, you put in all this time. I kept telling myself, like, you put in all this time. Like, don't let it go to waste, you know? Like be in the moment. Don't let all this hard work go to waste. Like, you know, go in there and show everybody what you've been training so hard for. You know? So
you believed that you were going to do it. You deserved it, and you believed that you're going to do it. I think that's a key factor.
It totally is.
So what did the Zen master tell you before you were headed out there?
He said, go out there and have fun, Peanut. You know, like, go out there, have fun, you know, and that's what it's all about.
Kept the pressure off.
Yeah.
You know, just go out there, have fun, do what you know how to do.
Yeah.
Wise words. All right. So they get everything set, you know, bell goes off, and you lock up. First time you feel. What were you thinking that moment?
Well, our plans were I really wanted to take her legs out, you know, and so I cracked her in the leg, and then I was like, I landed, you know? It's always like that first shot, and I backed up, and I was like, okay. Like, it's always like after the first shot's done, it kind of just goes out, whatever. But yeah, we locked up, and...
She was supposed to be a lot stronger than you, right?
Yes, and I didn't feel it, you know? You're nothing against her, you know? It's that on it.
That secret weapon, that advantage.
No, she pushed up on me, and I kind of... kind of grinned a little bit because I didn't feel her strength as much as I anticipated it,
right.
You know, and that really helped me in my mental ability to be like, nah, you know, she pushed up on me and I pushed back, and
I think that's a key moment in the fights. And you hear a lot of people talking, like even Chael, about when he locked up with John Jones, and all of them are like, shit.
Yeah.
like this is not going to be good.
Right?
You know, and that first moment where you feel someone's strength, I think is important.
Uh-huh. And I mean, it's just kind of that unknown that you like go into the fight and as soon as that aspect of it goes away, everything else kind of just falls into place. Yeah, so we locked up and you know, she pushed up on me, and then I kind of was able to relax and just kind of.
So then she goes for a takedown. You reversed it. Finished that round strong. You've actually finished in mount, right?
Yeah.
If I can recall. Yeah. So strong. First round in the books. What did Greg Jackson say after that first round?
He's like, Peanut, you're doing great. You know, just try to be a little bit more active on the ground. And Coach Wink, who's a stand-up coach, was telling me, to take my angles on my stand-up because we were working heavily on my overhand right.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, it can land. You can land that Peanut. Just,
you didn't throw that too much.
Set it up. Yeah, because I didn't set it up, you know? And so still things I need to work on. But he's like, set it up, Peanut. Set it up. You can knock her out. So, and then we went back out, and after the second, or was it
second round? I can't remember too much. But then the third round, it got really interesting. That's when the tide turned against you pretty savagely.
I was telling my husband Josh in the second round. I think I was able to kind of dominate and keep top pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it pissed her off. You know, mm-hmm. I think she was pissed that she came out the third, like trying to take my head off. And you know, she was almost successful.
Yeah. So she got a really dominant position. It was almost like a mounted crucifix, but it was not quite, but your arm was pinned and she was able to land a lot of shots.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just a barrage of blows and you were just covering
mm-hmm.
deep water.
Yes.
So walk us through that. Actually tell us, you mentioned yesterday what John McCarthy told you before the, before the match. So what did he tell you he was going to let you do?
He said, you know, this is a championship fight. You know, if I see that you're in deep water, he's like, I'll let you try to get out of it. But, you know, if you're drowning, I'm going to have to stop the fight.
So you were close. Yeah. I mean, it was maybe not internally, but it felt like to all of us watching, like, oh, man, he could stop this at any minute.
It was so close. Like, I felt like she got me in a bad position, mm-hmm. you know. And every time I try to move for a different position, I just was digging myself a deeper hole. Like, move. Oh, okay. Now she has your back. That's even worse. Move. Mm-hmm. Oh, now she has your arm bent. That's even worse. You know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in positions like that, Coach Jackson's always like, because in a couple of my first fights, I would just not even care about getting a better position. I just start throwing to try mm-hmm. to get them off of me. But, you know, he's always just like, work to get your position first, and then once you got better position, then you can maneuver, you know. And
right.
I kept moving, and every time I moved, I was in a worse position.
Until finally, you were in a nasty armbar.
Yeah.
I mean, nasty armbar. So what were you thinking at that point? I mean, she had you stretched out, one leg over the head, one leg over the body, arm fully extended, hyperextended, mm-hmm. it looked like to me. I mean, it looked like she had that thing at its mm-hmm. at its point. So go moment by moment. I imagine in those times, like, time slows down because your adrenaline gets so high. So what were you thinking at that point?
I think I was thinking, thank God she's not punching me anymore. No, you know, I just was thinking, be patient, you know, because...
But you didn't panic.
Yes.
You didn't panic.
Uh-huh. I think John McCarthy was telling my coach, and I had no idea that I had said this, but he told Coach Wink that at that moment, he heard me whispering to myself, don't quit.
Whoa.
Which is like something that in my head I knew I was saying, but I didn't know I was saying out loud. It was like totally crazy. And, you know, you just have to wait for that right moment. And my arm was hyperextended, and there was like that split moment where she like went to readjust, and I just went for it, you know, and, mm-hmm. and got out of that position.
Yeah, because she was having to work it around, trying to get a little bit more leverage.
She was looking for the sweet spot.
Yeah, and you took advantage. You reversed that. I remember I was watching at home. I went nuts because it was one of those moments where most people, anybody who is looking for an excuse to get out of a fight would have taken it.
Yes.
You know, and look, these fighters have more courage across the board than, you know, anybody in society. But there's times where you see people, you know, tough guys who will, when they're getting beat, you know, beat up like you were for a little bit mm-hmm. in that third round, you'll see them stretch their neck out a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, be like, okay. Okay, yeah. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and not for a second. Not when you had that submission deep. You were just not going to quit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then so you make it through the round.
Whew. Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes.
That was big.
It was. I mean, it was a huge turning point for me, you know.
Yeah.
And
so what Coach Jackson say at that point?
He just was... I think I was kind of like... I was so like in the zone that... You know, he was like, that's great, Peanut. Now, just stay off the fence, you know, he was telling me. Like, because every time we touched, like, every time I backed up, that's when we'd go down, you know. He's mm-hmm. like, try to stay off the fence. You're doing great. You're putting...
Make her take a shot in the open.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we were, he was just, you know, saying you're stringing your things perfectly, so just keep doing what you're doing, you know.
All right. And then so fourth round happens. The round of the magic submission.
Mm-hmm.
So take us through that, and take us through what you'd done in training to get yourself ready for that moment as well.
Well, by that time, I think she wanted to take me to the ground, you know. So yeah. She was going for that shot, and you know, she inevitably got me down. And I, at first I was trying to sprawl, but my leg was stuck under her body. So, you know, once we hit the ground, I was like, all right, I can't sprawl out. My leg's stuck under her body. Let's try to go for the back, you know. And working this camp, I was working a lot with Coach Jackson, but I was also working a lot at Gracie Baja out in Albuquerque. And I just think the extra time that I put in rolling really helped, because I was able to kind of flow a little bit more. And I was going for a back, and she's going to push me back down. I don't think she's expecting for me to hike my leg up. And mm-hmm. Coach Jackson,
you got some good wrist control there, right?
Yeah. Coach Jackson from the corner just kept saying, I don't know the exact words that he was saying, but he was saying, you know, hike your leg up, hike your leg up. So, you know, obviously he was saying something that I wasn't doing. So as soon as she went to put me back down, I just hiked my leg up. I already had control of her arm and just pushed that hip up. And
she was out. Tap quick. She felt the pressure. Game over. And then a total flood of emotion came over. You dropped to your knees. You know, how did that feel at that moment? Just some combination of ecstasy and relief. And
it was crazy. Like, John broke us up, and I stood up. Okay, fight's over. And then I kind of look around, and I'm like, holy shit, I just won. And then I jump back down to the ground, you know, and it's just like a whole, like, you know, just kind of like flashbacks of like all that training and, you know, sprinting up to the top of the mountain and being pissed off that I have to do this on my weekend because I'm fighting a champion, you know, and it all paid off.
And here you are with the belt.
Yeah.
All right. So how does it feel? Does it feel a little different being the champ right now?
You know, it's cool.
It's cool, right?
It's cool. I love it. I mean, who doesn't want to be called a champ?
Yeah.
You know?
No doubt. So what's next for you here? What are you looking to the future? You're going to have to a long road of defending the title, right?
Yeah. And like Coach Jackson said, you know, that now I got a target on my head. So I just got to keep improving my game and just remember the passion mm-hmm. that I have in fighting. And that's what I love about fighting. You know, it's like you never stop learning and you never stop improving yourself as a person. And that's what I plan on doing.
Yeah. So how has the fan reaction been for you? Because I know it's always been an interesting thing with yourself and Ronda as champions in particular. You're both very attractive women. Mm-hmm. So it's always odd for men to watch, especially when things start going bad. I mean, when you're in a flow, they're like, pretty girl, kick some ass, you know? But when it's like things start getting bad, it's like, oh God, can I stop this? What's going on? Like, mm-hmm. do you sense that a lot from fans or from people, or do you think they've just kind of adopted and can treat, you know, everybody as just, you know, just another fighter?
Yeah. You know, I haven't really gotten like the response of, oh, you shouldn't be fighting, unless it's from my family, you know, like, mm-hmm. you know, my aunts that are like, you know, what's going on? You're like top 10 in your class and you're over here fighting in the cage. Like, you could be doing so much more with your life. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, this is the most awesome job in the world.
Of course.
You know, so.
And your ability to reach people, inspire people. I mean, this is the platform that's, you know, it's a tough road, no doubt about it, you know, but it's a platform that's going to help support you for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And I tell people all the time, like, I fight because it makes me a stronger person. It makes me a whole person. I feel like through fighting, you find yourself, you know what I mean? And there's not a lot of other professions that you can do that unless, you know, like fighting forces you to find who you truly are, you know, and I love that about it. So,
I think that's a really important thing that you're doing. And a lot of sports can do that, but fighting in particular, you know, it will, you know, talk about some of the lessons and things that fighting has brought to you that, you know, you think could perhaps help other women who are considering doing it. You know, I mean, talk a little bit more of that spiritual and mental and, you know, emotional advantage that fighting has given you as applied to your life.
I mean, I kind of like that going through hell and back, you know, mm-hmm. like, when I was doing the interview for the Invicta, just talking about like that very, very thin line between, quitting and pushing forward, you know, fighting isn't always about winning. Sometimes you're going to get the crap beat out of you. And it's what you do after that that determines the type of person you are. You know, like, Are you going to just, you know, let them beat the crap out of you? Or are you going to, you know, brush your shoulders off, get back up and do it again? Like that really what it, that's what life is about. You know, that's, you know, I forgot who said it, but I think it was Tyson that said, life will hit you the hardest, you know? So you just got to learn how to get that tough skin. And I think for me growing up, I was always a pushover. You know, I kind of let people push me around and I kind of was just like, yes, yes. And still kind of am, you know, I like to please people. So, but fighting has really allowed me to stand up for myself and has given me the ability to know that I can stand up for myself and be my own person. And
I think you're talking to, you know, two important things that you touched on there. For sure. You know, and another thing that I've kind of known from fighting as well is it will, you know, it'll bring out any kind of demons that you might have and allow you to explore and express them in different ways as well. You know, even a hard, really hard training session, you know, where somebody gets the better of you, you know, having to deal with that moment, it's going to touch on some nerves and some things.
Internally,
you know, I've gone away and said, you know, all right, thanks, everybody. Yeah, I'm out. And just hit the shower and turned to the wall and just started crying afterwards. Mm-hmm. Like, and, you know, obviously you don't want to show that to everybody, you know, but in your moments, you're like, and I don't even know why, but just these emotional things. But being able to push yourself through all those different trials and tribulations is intensely valuable. Plus, as you said, it's the self-confidence of standing up for yourself, asserting yourself. And then, look, if you can make it through everything you can do in fighting, you know, what are these day-to-day tribulations
going to
cause? Oh, you got a flat tire. Mm-hmm. Oh, who gives a shit? Mm-hmm. You know, you've been through way worse situations than that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that, you know, all sports can help with. You know, I noticed that the female athletes that I know are way more equipped to be able to handle small challenges in life. Male athletes as well. You know, athletes in general are able to handle these kind of ups and downs, the ebb and flow, a lot better because they've practiced it.
Mm-hmm. It is a practice. I think, I mean, yeah, but nobody wants to face, you know, like you said, their own demons, you know, and
that's it.
And you're forced to do that, and you're forced to kind of like challenge your own self-doubt, and it's cool, you know, because it's kind of like with exercise. Like I always tell people, like, if I would not exercise on a daily if I didn't fight. I exercise because I fight.
You have a goal.
Yeah, it forces me to do something. It gives me a goal, you know. And same thing, like, I don't think anybody wants to, like, oh, today I'm going to, you know, fight my own demons. Like it's not one of those choices you make, you know. Yeah. Like, it forces you to do so, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you know, not all of us are going to be able to have a sport that is allowed to do that. I mean, that's the best way to do it. I agree. When you have an actual concrete goal, a competition, a contest, but, you know, find some way to get out there and at least touch on some of those things. You know, set up artificial goals. I know I've had to do it recently for myself because I'm not competing in anything anymore, but I've been a competitive athlete my whole life. So I'm setting arbitrary goals for myself. Like, okay, I'm going to add 8 pounds. And if I think about it, I'm like, why? There's no good reason. Like, no good reason. Mm. But I have to set that goal just to bring more out of myself.
The competitive
nature. Yeah, to bring that kind of fire and be able to push myself through. So I think that's important, you know, whether you have a tangible goal like yourself or whether you don't, you know, set one, whatever it is, you know, and just trick yourself that that's important. Trick yourself that that's your title fight.
And that's the thing that I'm struggling with now because, you know, as a fighter, like, everything leading up to the fight is, like, so big. And then, like, when the fight's over, it's just, like, you know, I'm not going to be fighting until October. So, like you said, you know, like, I kind of was just like, let myself go, you know.
Except for yesterday. You were hitting it hard in the gym.
Yes, I did. Juan beat me up, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's another thing I have to work on, like, striving to
just keep that hunger, keep that motivation.
All the time. Yeah. Like, what, you know, what, why not? Like, why go through this, like, up and down when I can, like, to always, like, keep that, that momentum going and, like, get better and better and better, you know? And so,
do you have any role models in the gym in Jackson's camp that kind of inspire you to, work harder or kind of keep that path?
Everybody, it's crazy. Like, everybody in the gym, like, is inspiring to me. I just, the girls in the gym, Julie Kedzie, she's getting ready to fight here in July, mm-hmm. and she's just, you know, she's been in the sport forever, and she could totally, if she wanted to, be burnt out on it, because she started a long time ago, you know, and it's just now starting to, like, catch momentum. But no, like, she still has the passion, she still has the heart, and she's in the gym every day, you know. Holly Holm, she just retired from boxing. She's 24-1, 24-2. She's a badass, you know. Mm-hmm. And now she's getting into MMA. And I look at her and I see, like, how you're talking about, you know, breaking down and crying. Like, there's been times when she's, like, hitting mitts, crying as she's hitting mitts, and just keeps going, and, like, totally wears her emotions, received, like, the most, you know, honest person that you'd ever meet, and
right.
and she has the heart of gold, and it, like, when I look at people like her, and she talks to me and tells me that I can do it, you know, and when I talk to people like that, that's what inspires me, you know, like, it's just, it's crazy, like, they kind of become your family, you know,
For sure.
and they lift you up, and, you know, Coach Jackson, same thing, Coach Wink, I mean, everybody inspired me in different ways, you know. It's kind of cool to just go in there and watch, kind of people watch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
John Jones, before this last fight, we were in there, and he's like, Peanut, you think you can win? And I'm like, yeah, I think I can. He's all good. You need to think you can win, you know, like, that's
for
a big
sure.
part of it, you know. And
yeah.
just, you know, he just, like, asked me a simple question, like, and
yeah. then next time you can be, John, you think you can keep your toe turned the right way?
No.
You think you can get,
nasty.
You can, think you can keep toenail facing up? How about that, John?
Oh, God. That was pretty nasty.
That was nasty.
But no, I mean, everybody in the gym inspires me, like. It fighting is a tough sport, you know. It's
Hell
not
yeah.
really as glamorous a lot of people think it is.
I don't think people think it's glamorous.
Okay, I hope not. Because
there
was like a rock star lifestyle, and it's really not.
No.
Like, you can't be going out drinking if you're training, you know.
Yeah.
And definitely.
Yeah. This ain't Floyd Money Mayweather.
Yes.
You know, off season routine.
Yes.
You know? Although he works his ass off too.
Yes, he
truth
does.
Of the matter.
He definitely.
But he does it with $200,000 in his pocket, so yeah. it kind of confuses people.
A sack of a million.
Yeah. Yeah,
with the bodyguards. Yeah,
yeah, for sure. So now let's talk about something that's just going to be fun we're doing today. Now, during while you're in the gym, occasionally you will spar with male partners, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're pretty used to, you know, going at it and
yeah.
getting them. You ever catch one of them, you know, and stun them a little bit?
I have.
Yeah,
yeah, I've buckled a couple of knees in my lifetime.
So what's going to be interesting today is we have a guy who trains a lot, and we're going to set up a little contest.
Uh-oh.
And the contest is called Can You Survive a Round with Michelle Watterson? So we're going to get Sean in here on the podcast.
Are
we
going to
ask him?
Off?
Yeah, we're going to ask him if he thinks he can survive a round. Now, the rules of engagement, you know, he's going to be able to cover up, block, uh-huh. and clinch a little bit, like,
okay.
you know, like boxing style. But you're going to have to try and take his ass out.
Okay.
Take his ass out.
And that's the only rule?
That's the rules. I'll be the ref. I'll be Big John.
I can kick him in the face?
Yeah. You better kick him in the face. That's the whole goal. That's why we're doing this.
Okay.
He thinks he can stay up. He
yeah.
was a little less confident this morning about it, but uh-huh. we'll see. We'll talk him into it. We'll get him in here.
I know, after that workout Juan gave me, man.
Yeah, I know. See? He doesn't
like,
even
yeah.
know. You're already sore. He's got an advantage.
He does, but, you know, like, the best way to get that soreness out is to work out again.
Just start kicking people in the face.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So let's go. What was your MMA background? You're called the Karate Hottie. Uh-huh. So it was in stand-up in particular,
yes.
right? Was there a particular discipline, or was it more just
kickboxing? I grew up doing American Freestyle Karate with my brother. And when I got into it, it was more for, like, the artistic side of it. I did a lot of katas.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of, like, the flips and stuff like that. I did.
Very cool.
And after I got my black belt, I pursued Kempo a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I
got Chuck Liddell?
A little bit, yeah. And then I got into wushu.
Take a seat, Sean.
Just more artistic as well. And then when I became an adult, my mom and I went to Thailand and started training some Muay Thai and came back. And that's when I started fighting, taking some amateur kickboxing fights. And I think a year into it, I had like 4 fights under my belt, and I was training with Donald Cerrone.
Uh-huh.
And he was just like, you know, if this is something that you want to do as a career, I think MMA is the way to go because you don't really make that good of money in kickboxing. So
right.
I took an MMA fight, and here I am today.
Then here you are today, about to square off with none other than Sean. What's your nickname, Sean? Sean the Madman Clements?
The Madman Clements.
The Madman. Sure,
if that's what you want to make it.
Yeah. You just got nicknamed today. So you're going to be squaring off with Sean the Madman Clements. Now, Sean, tell us a little bit about your background. You've been training for how many years, right?
Just about maybe 5 years.
Just
what's your rough weight? You know, your
rough weight,
187 on a motherfucking car. All right. So obviously, much bigger individual here. So this is the challenge. Now, do you think, Sean, that in 3 minutes you can survive?
I believe I can survive.
You believe you can survive?
Yes.
I got $500 that says you can't. Now, you don't have to put any money up, but I'm thinking you're going to take a knee.
Put the rules and stipulations down real quick then.
I think you're going to wave the hand. No mas.
No, this is no mas. No, that's not happening.
He looks really strong.
He is a strong chap. There's no doubt about it.
He can grapple too.
No.
I didn't even say that. That's what you're saying. He tried to take me down. You saw what happened my last fight, right?
Yeah,
no, it's okay.
No grappling. You're the rules, Sean. You got it. You can cover up. You can block. You can slip. You can't run.
I'm gonna run.
And you can clench for a little bit, but when I separate you, you got
to
separate.
Is this an actual cage we're going to?
Yeah, it's an actual cage. Right, yeah, we're gonna be in a cage. So you're gonna have to try and survive, and that's the name of the game.
Dirty
you stand up. You stand up 3 minutes and don't drop a knee. If you drop a knee, it's over. There's no three.
Drop a knee.
There's no, you know. Drop to your knee. Say, oh please, please stop. Please, Michelle, I can't take it anymore. My legs hurt so bad.
My legs
and my ribs. And my head hurt so bad.
No, we're all good.
It'll be fun.
All right. So that's going to go down later today. We'll make sure we release that video shortly. So your prediction is, what do you think? No sweat?
I think I don't have a problem.
Oh.
I can take a hit.
What do you think about
football?
Oh, yeah. He's a tough guy. Yeah. What do you think? What do you think, Michelle? You think he's going to stand up? You think he's going to...
I've taken Aubrey's head kicks before.
Yeah, that's true.
I have kicked him in the head. But the interesting part about that is not that he took it. It was that it was really not that hard to kick him in the head. So that's an advantage for you. So that's an advantage for you. So we're going to cook up. We're going to get you a really good corner, man, Sean. You know,
who are we getting here?
We got our head programmer, Josh Alley, who's going to be helping you out. Our chief technical officer. I think he's gonna bring some cigarettes and some whiskey, and you guys are just gonna figure it out. And then we'll get you straight. We'll get you over to the Vasquez Academy. Get a couple people in your corner, and we'll try to make this happen. So, Sean, get your game face on. Get your head right.
I don't have a game face. I've never been really good at that game face.
I think the game face is actually not really. You know, the people who are like, they're the ones who don't really believe in themselves all that much. They're trying to convince themselves.
Yeah.
So I like the calm people. I like how John Jones enters the ring. Serene, eyes wide open. Like
yes.
Anderson does the same thing.
Yeah, it's
and
crazy.
All the best champions seem to come in the same way. You as well as you yourself. All right, Sean. Thank you for hopping on the podcast here.
And good luck later.
Ooh.
I like it.
Well, Aubrey said you're not punching back, so I mean,
yeah,
I'm
no,
like,
hey,
that's
your,
that's
you just got to survive.
You just got to survive.
So can I take him down? No, I'm just
you can try.
You could, but I don't think that scores you any points. You got to take him out.
All right.
I'd probably blow my back out. Like
he's a big lad. He's a big lad. All right, Shawnee. Right. We'll see you soon. We'll figure it out. Sean the Madman Clements, everyone. Well, let's wish him luck. So that'll be a good time today. So let's talk. We're going to wrap this podcast up here and get you ready for your big bout coming up here. So you can talk us a little bit about, you know, how some of the Onnit products, what are some of the things you've been taking and how that's helped you in your training and in your program.
Well, my three favorite is the hemp protein. Mm-hmm. And I like it because it just... it doesn't taste like fake chocolate.
Right.
It's absolutely real chocolate. Yeah, it's real chocolate, and it's kind of like a deeper chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just raw cacao.
Yeah, you know, I love it.
It's cocoa.
And at first, like, the hemp seeds, they kind of threw me off. It was a texture thing. But I really like it. Like, it kind of has, like, a nutty flavor to it, and it adds. So I really like that, and it doesn't make me feel bloated afterwards.
Right.
Which helps when you're training three times
Absolutely.
A day.
Absolutely.
So, and then the Alpha Brain, that Zen Flow that Coach Jax is talking about, it definitely just helps you focus in on your
Have you ever been like, hey, Coach, try some of these?
I need to throw some at him. Yeah, I do. For sure, I'm going to do that one.
I know he's friends with Joe, too. So
I was being a little selfish with him for this last night. Yeah, I was like, even my husband was like, try to take some. Hey, hey, that bottle's running out, you know. Like, give some to me. It's like that magical clear pill.
Yeah, yeah.
But it really did help me focus in on my training. And I think, like I said, like, I mean, I'm a firm believer in that mental game training, you know, and that helped me.
Makes a big difference.
It does. It does. And then the Shroom Tech is what I took to kind of give me that little extra oomph. And usually I don't take like anything like pre-workout because it, like, I just don't handle, like, you know, like the caffeine well and this or that. And I get like the shakes and I can't like calm my nerves. And that's not ever good for me when I'm like sparring and I'm like, I can't calm myself down. And Shroom Tech just, it gives me the energy I need to get through the workout and kind of recover and feel like I can get through the day. And
right on. Well, that's what it's designed for. And then you've been taking the vitamin packs too, right?
Yes. And the vitamin packs are just, because all of that stuff is just already incorporated in it. Like, you don't even have to think about it. You just take it and go. And then it also has like the, what are the green ones?
Spirulina, chlorella.
Yes.
Those are good. Yes. Get you a little extra green food, some micronutrients, vitamins, minerals.
Yes.
Outstanding.
You know what else I liked is the one that helps you sleep?
The New Mood.
The new mood? No, the other one that
melatonin.
You can chew.
Yeah.
Yes.
That'll knock you out.
I love that because, you know, I have a 2-year-old at home and sometimes, like, and thinking about the fight and...
And you give it to your 2-year-old.
No. Crush it up. Don't here. Take this. Go to sleep.
Put it in your bottle.
Go to
Put
sleep.
It in that baby bottle with some warm milk.
It's
You'll
minty.
Be out in no time. Mom, I'm so sleepy.
There was so much stuff going on at my last camp. You know, my husband and I just moved into a new house. We were renovating. And, you know, sometimes you just need something like force you to go to sleep. Otherwise, your mind's just going to be going like crazy, crazy, crazy. And it just kind of just... Let you kind of fall asleep
Drifts off, for
peacefully.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Michelle Watterson, the Karate Hottie, we will be supporting you for the rest of your career. Team on it.
Oh, yeah.
Part of the family now.
We on so it. And you got to get on it.
That's right. So we'll be looking forward to your next matches. And I'm looking forward to today's match. I hope you take him out. I'm
dude,
you to
he's
chop him
kind
down.
Of like really intimidating. I'm like, I didn't want to look over at him. Like,
he's a big dude.
I might have to tag my husband in. Like, come on, babe. Take him out.
Just the whole tag team approach. All right. Well, that'll be a lot of fun. Michelle Watterson, thank you so much for being on the podcast. And we'll have some fun. We'll shoot some videos and do some fun stuff today.
All right. Thank you for having me.
All right. Take care. Everybody, we'll see you next week.